So I'm just going to... I wanted to organise this talk about essentially business models or revenue streams that online content businesses have, how people make money online from content. And it's a relatively brief overview. It's really the main purpose of this is to introduce you to just how wide a range of ways that online businesses make money, and the wide range of revenue streams, the wide range of sources of income that publishers and media organisations have. It has transformed from really quite a simple business model in print and broadcast to what can be very complex, very confusing and very varied. And a lot of people come into publishing and journalism and content businesses with particular preconceptions and quite a narrow idea of how they're going to make money based on these traditions. And so that's really what I want to do this afternoon is map that out firstly, and then we'll have some time for really what I mainly want to do is start a discussion in terms of, okay, what about you in particular? What ways could you make money or support your journalism, your content production? I'm using very general terms because a lot of you all have very different, if you like, projects, different interests. So the first point is, how do you make money from content? Well, the first thing is you can't, you won't, and you never did anyway. That's the kind of starting point. You can't make money from content online because there is too much of it. The supply of information far outstrips the demand. And one of the fundamental rules of economics, of business generally, of making money, is that there needs to be a high demand for something and ideally a low supply in order for you to make money from something, in order for you to increase the price of something, to charge something. But your whole idea of value is based on the idea that what you are supplying, that there is a large demand for it and not much supply or not enough supply. And that's where the value is created. So, first of all, there's a real difficulty in making money from content online because of the sheer supply of content online. Secondly, you won't make money because it's Google's world, that you are competing against an enormous organisation which utterly dominates the advertising market, and advertising is often what people reach for as the way to make money from content online. So in last year they had just under 32% of all money spent by advertisers online. So you need to recognise these kind of realities, this context, before you even start to think about business. You can't just go out and say, I'm going to sell advertising and that's how I'm going to support my television, video, journalism project. And even after Google, Facebook has another 8%, Microsoft has another 2.5%, Yahoo, AOL, Twitter, Amazon. You can see, you know, just how many organisations which are not media organisations, traditional media organisations, dominate the top 10, the top 20 sources of advertising. Millennial media is mobile advertising, by the way. Most of the others should be pretty straightforward. And then the final point about you never made money from content anyway, one of the things that people forget about news is most news organisations, certainly national news organisations, are not profitable. They don't make money. The BBC, Sky, The Guardian, they're funded by different models. Even BuzzFeed, there's a really interesting quote from a senior executive at BuzzFeed recently who says, we don't have the intention to make money out of news, to monetize news. News is the value that we'd be offering. And this is quite common. This is why ITV has a news program. It is why many organisations have news programmes. They don't make money directly out of news. It's about adding value. It's about bringing in an audience that then later does other things. It's about branding, quite often, a brand exercise. or it's about meeting requirements of a license to operate. So ITV has to do news in order to get a license, and it then sells advertising against entertainment programmes and other programming. But the advertising around its news is not really the primary purpose. The fundamental point is, we tend to focus as content creators, we tend to obsess about the value of our content. We can be really egocentric about this. I am an artist, I am a writer, my material has value and people must pay for it. And you hear this sort of stuff with paywalls. You hear journalists saying, we can't give away our content for free, our content is valuable. Well, you have to prove that. People aren't going to pay for it just because you think it's valuable, just because you've put effort into it. And actually, if you look at business models for content historically, most of it is about selling audiences, not selling content. Yes, we might charge 40p for a newspaper. Television and radio content is free. Yes, we have to pay a license fee, but we don't have any choice in that. And actually, what the businesses do is they sell those audiences then to other people. So the primary business model, the primary revenue stream for most content businesses in the 20th century was selling audiences to advertisers. They would build an audience and then they would sell it in the form of advertising. And likewise, we sold products. We sell a newspaper, a magazine. We don't sell articles. And people buy a package. And one of the interesting developments recently with News UK, which owns The Sun and Times, is that they are moving to selling packages based on football rights. So you get The Sun, you get The Times, and you get the ability to watch football highlights on your phone. So you're not buying news, you're buying a package. And services as well, people sell services. So it's I think one of the hardest things for content creators generally is moving away from what they value and what they have invested their efforts in to how that connects to an audience and what people are prepared to pay money for. News is a really good example of this. News generally has a very short shelf life. It's repeated everywhere else. It's what's called commodified, which is that there are lots of other versions of this same story that I can get elsewhere. So your version of this story doesn't add any particular value that I'm prepared to pay for. So how do we make money? What I want to do next is kind of map out seven broad types of revenue streams that I see content publishers using as a way of bringing in money. And one of the things that you see happening is a move from a single one or two revenue streams to multiple revenue streams. So like I said, it used to be in the 20th century, most content publishers, their main income was advertising and some sort of perhaps direct purchases. So they might sell copies of magazines or newspapers, they might get a license fee, they might get funding from the government, and so on. And really, that only really covered the cost of production, and the advertising was the bulk. But it was a very simple business model. And for years, that was highly profitable for some organisations, for the local press in particular, because they had a monopoly over advertising in that area. But it's not simple anymore. So let me show you a little video. You may well have seen this. The South Park Norms. I don't know if I've got audio. Oh, what a shame. Let's see if I can get some audio. So here's the first type of revenue stream. And this is the traditional type. This is advertising, essentially. And it's the idea of selling eyeballs, it's often called, online. Again, it's selling audiences. Yesterday and the day before, I was at the Trinity Mirror Editorial Conference, which is a conference for people from local and national newspapers the Trinity Mirror group, sort of a Sunday Mirror, the Daily Mirror, Birmingham Mail, Birmingham Post, Liverpool Echo, newspapers like that. And they were projecting that next year, you know, as audiences moved away from paper towards online, advertisers would continue to do the same. And in fact, advertising is lagging behind people in terms of where the money is. So still more advertising is spent in places where fewer people spend their time. And you've seen over years this migration. So eyeballs are moving from print into web, and from broadcast to web to a lesser degree. Advertising is one of these. Sponsorship is a slightly different thing, which is worth talking about separately. And online you're starting to get what's called native advertising in particular. So advertising, the price of advertising has really dropped in print. There's La Vanguardia, which is a Spanish newspaper, yeah? You know, 7 years ago, they would sell a full-page ad for 30,000 euros. Now, it's a sixth of that, if they're lucky. So the amount of money that they can charge for advertising has really dropped. Online, as I said, the money is going online and continues to do so. And you have different types of advertising. You have display advertising. These are things like banner adverts, skyscrapers, which are the ones that go down the side, pop-ups, and so on. The display advertising is the traditional type of advertising. Paid-for search advertising is a particularly important market. You can see it's bigger than the display advertising market. This is basically, if someone searches for something, show them an advert. So if I search for shoe shops, then someone has paid Google or paid Bing or paid Yahoo for their advert to be shown to anyone who searches for that phrase. Yeah. And then you've got classifieds as well and others as well. Paid-for search is often done on an auction basis, so you compete against other advertisers. It's all automated. So I want to advertise to people who are buying shoes, and Ian wants to advertise to the same people. I say, I will pay $1 for every person that searches for this and sees my advert. And Ian says, I'm going to pay $1.10. So I say, I'm going to pay $1.20. And it carries on like that until I outbid Ian. Ian goes out to the auction and, right, okay, I'm paying $2 for every person who sees that. The most expensive advert for this used to be, I don't know if it still is, people who search for a particular type of cancer. Okay? Very rare cancer. Why do you think that is the most expensive search term to advertise against?
What was the particular type of
It's like a kind of an industrial disease. So, you know, you get certain cancers that are caused by asbestos, that sort of thing. It's one of those types of cancers.
Because it's likely to be searched on.
Yeah, but so are lots of other terms. Actually, it's not that likely. There are not many people with this particular disease.
Many people are looking for compensation.
Yeah, so if I'm a lawyer and I want to reach those people, I can help them sue for compensation, and it's worth a lot of money in terms of the cases and the compensation and so on. So that, there are not many people who search for that, but appealing to getting to those people is worth so much to lawyers that they are prepared to outbid themselves to an extremely high amount. So it doesn't have to be big volumes of search, it doesn't have to be, you know, Britney Spears. Why, you know, lots of people search for Britney Spears or Lady Gaga or whatever, but they're not necessarily an audience that I want to reach for whatever purpose. It can be quite specific terms. And that's why search engine advertising, that's why Google has dominated the advertising market so effectively. Yeah.
So in essence, reaching to the audience with the deepest pockets.
or who have the potential to, earn you
where
a lot of
money.
Where the money is. Because display advertising is really quite often what's called brand advertising. It's about maintaining your brand and kind of the perception of your company. Search advertising is about very specifically targeting people who are interested in something specific. And again, content, things like news, doesn't do very well though. People complain about Google News, they complain about Google, you know, stealing our traffic or whatever. But actually, very few adverts are sold against news, because why would you advertise against someone searching for an earthquake when you could advertise for people searching for shoe shops, if you see what I mean? If someone searching for earthquake isn't about to make a purchasing decision. Yeah? So that's what most paid-for search is. And that's one thing where the internet, this is why advertising is a really poor source of revenue for content publishers. In the 20th century, before the internet, you know, the only way to reach people who were interested in buying shoes was to slap an ad in the paper or on television and hope that some of those people would be interested in buying shoes, or when they thought about buying shoes, they would think about the ad that they saw and that damn jingle I can't get out of my head. But actually, online, you can be much more specific. It used to be said about advertising that we know it works half of the time, but we just don't know which half it works. Now we do. We can actually measure that. So that's advertising. In terms of even within that, you've got mobile video advertising, tablet, mobile display advertising, social media advertising, and so on. Display and search. These are growth rates. So even within online, it's moved over the last 10 years, it's moved from display to paid-for search. And in the last few years, it's moved in particular to mobile and social media. Because again, the audience, even online, has moved from desktop to mobile, from search to social media. If you go on Facebook, you can go through a process. If you Google Facebook advertising, you can go through a process of buying an advert. You don't have to spend any money. But you can find out, for example, how many people there are on Facebook in Birmingham who are male, who are gay, who are interested in volleyball, who are connected to this person. You can target that narrowly, and it will tell you how many people there are, and then you can choose to buy an advert targeted specifically at those people. So again, in terms of social media, you can be extremely targeted in a way that you could never be in print or broadcast, and still can't really. Content organisations are starting to collect a lot more information about their users, and this is one of the reasons for paywalls, which I will go on to. But compared to social media, it's very difficult to collect as much information as people give out about themselves on sites like Facebook. So that's advertising. One other thing about advertising is there are different measures in terms of how people pay for it. The original way that people used to pay for advertising is what's called CPA. And that stands for cost per thousand. M being the Roman numeral for 1,000. Yeah? So CPM would be, you would pay, let's say, $5 for every 1,000 people that saw this advert. Or in other words, were on that particular page where that advert was. And that's kind of very similar to how you would buy advertising in print or broadcast. 10,000 people buy this magazine, 100,000 people see this programme, so I'm going to pay for that advert based on that number of people. But CPM is less and less how people pay for advertising online. CPC is pretty much the most common form, and this is cost per click. In this case, you're only paying if someone clicks on an advert. So as advertisers, or not advertisers, as content websites competed for advertisers, they started to say, you don't have to pay just based on how many people see your advert. You can pay only if they click. So CPC is another measure. That obviously is more expensive in terms of the amount per click compared to per thousand, but you've got to get people to click in the first place. And then CPA is the third measure, and CPA stands for cost per action. And cost per action means not only did they click on an advert, but they registered for an email newsletter, or they signed up for a brochure, or they phoned a number. Basically, they did something, they took some action as a result of that advert. Yeah, so there might be a phone number in the advert, or there might be, the click might be the action, but it doesn't have to be. Does that make sense? So again, if you imagine all these content sites competing for advertisers, at one point one of these sites said, that person who's saying you pay for every click will only charge you if someone actually books a holiday with you or asks for a brochure. So CPM, CPC and CPA are the three metrics generally for buying advertising. So just some examples of that. Vice has sponsored channels, and sponsorship, as I said, it's quite similar to advertising, but it's more about establishing a brand relationship. Are you here for the PhD thing?
Sorry,
I think
PG
Research
got yours.
I think it's next door, yeah.
Sorry.
Right. So, yeah, sponsorship is kind of about associating your brand with the particular channel, the particular publisher. So, for example, Intel sponsors one of Vice's channels, and that is about creativity, stories about creative people. Intel wants to associate their brand with that whole idea. So sponsorship is often about that. It's not about getting people to do something in the same way that advertising often is, particularly online. It's about getting people to think about you in a certain way.
Sorry, Paul, I'm going to have to go. I forgot that because the lesson moved and I meant to be a tutor.
All right, okay. The Daily Mail, you can see one of the reasons... the Daily Mail is one of a number of organisations that are looking at native advertising now. And native advertising is like advertorials. So you may have seen advertorials in newspapers or magazines. You don't really see them on TV in the UK, but in the US, you see them very widely. What are they called on TV? What are they called? Like an advert that it looks like a TV program, but it's an advert. I can't remember it. But you get the same sort of thing in video as well. It used to be called advertorials. Online, it's often called native advertising, and this means it is an advert that's written like an article. And quite often online, and this is the key difference of why it's called native advertising, quite often it's written by the journalists rather than by an external company, like an advertising company. So BuzzFeed is based, their business model is based largely on native advertising, on them using the particular talents of BuzzFeed to create content for an advertiser and get that on Facebook and get it on social media. The Daily Mail does this as well, and you can see it charges a hell of a lot of money, £65,000. $102,000 for a native ad. That's extremely expensive for an advert. And the reason for that is that they're not just selling space, they're not just selling eyeballs, but they're selling the ability of their staff to create something that people will actually read and to get it out there, get it distributed on social media. So it's well worth looking at native advertising and some of the debates around that and some examples of how it's done. Here's just one example from BuzzFeed. This is Taco Bell has paid for this, but you see it looks like any other BuzzFeed article.
It's content from Taco Bell.
No, this is the key thing. Taco Bell have not created the content. They've paid BuzzFeed to create the content, brand it with Taco Bell.
It says Taco Bell loaded grillers.
Yeah, that's, it's going to mention Taco Bell, but it's not being written by Taco Bell, because Taco Bell would write something rubbish.
Doesn't that kind of like a grey area though, because your articles are going to be influenced by who's paying?
It's totally influenced, yeah. I mean, it is a grey area in terms of, there's a lot of debate about the ethics of this. In print and broadcast, there are very clear guidelines in terms of how it should be done. So you have to put advert or advertisement feature or advertorial on the content to make it clear. And often it's not quite the same. The formatting of it will look like slightly different from the rest of a publication. Normally, that's often because that copy is supplied externally, so it's not written in-house. An advertising agency or someone in that organisation will write that content and lay it out and send it in. So in a sense, it is like advertising in that it is designed elsewhere. Native advertising isn't. It looks exactly the same. At some point, it will probably still say advertorial or advertisement feature, but it's harder to distinguish from normal content than an advertorial sometimes. I mean, this one is pretty clear. You know, you've got this here, you've got this here, you've got, you know, Taco Bell loaded grillers. It's quite blatant in some ways. But there's a lot of talk about the ethics of it and how close, you know. But that's a whole other area to, you know, you could spend a whole hour talking about that. It's worth flagging up. But that's native advertising. And a lot of organisations are starting to look at this. The New York Times, reluctantly, have started to do it very lucratively as well. Content marketing is another term for something that kind of is quite similar. So this is, again, where people in an organisation, a content organisation, create content to market particular client. So The Economist have done some stuff with General Electric, which might be about what General Electric are doing. It doesn't. Sometimes it's about the organisation. Sometimes it's just, I mean, BuzzFeed is a good example of doing content which has nothing to do with the organisation. It's not about Taco Bell. It's just, they will have had a conversation about, okay, Taco Bell, what's your kind of thing, and then they might say, well, we're doing this whole thing about Taco Bell is something that should be shared, it's about sharing, so okay, let's do something about sharing, let's do it. And it's just about associating Taco Bell with sharing. Now, as I've said, that, you know, often it isn't just one model, it isn't just native advertising or whatever. The Economist is a good example of this. So they do content marketing, they do events, they do services, marketing services, like a PR unit, they do intelligence, they do courses, all feeding into the pot. In terms of native advertising and advertising generally, you have things like promoted videos, promoted images, promoted listings. All sites, social media sites, search sites, even commenting services like Discuss have different ways of selling advertising. And the big area here is video. Publishers are scrambling to do more and more video because they can charge a lot more money for advertising in a video than they can for advertising in text content. Partly because they can guarantee that people actually see it. It's well known that people are generally blind to banners. They have developed, you know, they ignore banners. But video, they often have to sit through the advert, it's embedded in there. So at Refinery29, which is a fashion site, video is about 10% of their profits. And it drives a lot of the clients, a lot of the customers that buy elsewhere.